Now, this can be the only answer for the huge rise in divorce and the increase in sexual sin and mental instability. Increased dependence on psychotropic medicines, though I'm thankful for them when they're applied properly. They're out of control in the lives of people who should be living in what the Bible refers to as love and joy and peace. Also, this would be the only explanation for us having such pitiful transformative effect on the culture. We are not salt and light. The dark is very dark, and the rottenness is very rotten, and the church, which is supposed to be the antidote for both of those elements, is quite often caught up in those elements. Still, there is at the same time, thankfully, a rising increase in serious-minded discipleship that doesn't seek to choose word over spirit or spirit over word, but which seeks God's spirit through his word and is guided by God's word to be led by the Holy Spirit. This is what God has been waiting for in the Western Church. There's a rising body of Jesus followers who are seriously wanting to follow him instead of just sticking the term Christian on themselves. Jesus followers who are becoming exactly that, true disciples of his word, and are therefore coming to understand the times that we live in. For obedience produces understanding. See, we want it the other way around. We want to understand everything, and if we like what we hear, then we might obey it. But real disciples obey their master because they trust him. It's not a matter of intellectual exercise. It's a matter of relational obedience. Now, I've been privileged to have been raised in a spiritual heritage that honored both word and spirit. Whether it was the old Pentecostals or the early charismatic leaders of various denominations, I saw men and women in my early years who, with all their foibles and mistakes, had a serious commitment to obeying the Holy Spirit and honored the Scriptures. And from my exposure to those men and women who took the Scriptures seriously enough to obey them in the ministry of the gifts, there was a maturity and an accuracy in their lives and ministries. They had an old saying among them. They said, "All word and no spirit, you dry up. All spirit and no word, you blow up. Word and spirit, you grow up." And they did. And they helped us grow up. Now, some have complained that prophecy is nothing more than a restating of what's already in Scripture. So why bother with it? Just read your Bible. But Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, "I always remind you of these things, even though you are already established in the truth and you are walking in it." So Peter says here, there's times when the Spirit of God causes me to restate to you what you already know. And then Paul says to the Philippians something very similar, where he says, "To write the same things over and over to you is not grievous for me to do. And for you to hear it over and over is a safety measure." He says it's safe for you to hear these things over and over. Well, that tells me it's unsafe to not hear these things over and over. So it's unsafe if the spirit of the prophetic is not operable in a congregation of people where they think, well, I've heard it, so, you know, I know it. It's very foolish for us to think just because we know something that we're walking in it. It's very presumptuous for us to think because we are familiar with concepts that we don't need them to be represented to us in a way that will call us into focus on those issues. Remember, the function of prophecy is to edify, exhort, and comfort. Well, to edify means to build up and strengthen. To exhort means to urge into wise action by argument or a strong appeal. And to comfort means to give aid, encouragement, or strength in the face of trouble.